Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Tate. And today we are doing the post-fight show for UFC Fight Night, Weidman versus Gastelum. And if you haven't seen the fight, because we're just finishing the fight here now, if you haven't seen the fight, this is not the episode for you to watch. I recommend or listen to. I recommend pausing this, waiting until after you've seen the fight, then tune into this episode, because I don't want to give away anything. I know a lot of fans will watch it later that night or even the next day. So I'd like to give you just a little heads up. With that being said, I'm going to pause for a quick second, let you pause it, and then I'm going to jump right into things. All right, so we just finished the fight, UFC Fight Night in New York, Long Island, and we just saw Chris Weidman defeat Kevin Gastelum in the third round with an arm and neck triangle. And this fight did not disappoint whatsoever. Gastelum's a tough fighter, man. I personally thought he was fighting in the wrong weight class, but he really put up a good showing. This was a really big deal for Chris Weidman because he was coming off of a 3-fight losing streak. He had lost to Yoel Romero. He had lost then, and then he lost to Gegard Mousasi, and then Luke Rockhold as well when he lost his title. So this was the fight that he needed. He desperately needed to get this win, to get back on the winning track, and to get back in contention here. And I tell you what, I mean, this fight, it was just an amazing fight to watch. In the first round, it was a typical Chris Weidman type fight, where his length and his range and his wrestling skills were the key for most of the first round. But a surprising thing happened. Weidman went to drop back straight back, which instead of normally, when you're fighting a fighter who's definitely a striker and a dangerous striker, you tend to rotate. You never fall directly back. And he made that mistake. And Kevin Gastelum, right at the very end of the first round, cracked him and nailed him. Dropped him at the very end of the round. As a matter of fact, later when you watch the interview right after the fight, Chris talks about how that was the first time he'd ever been dropped in the ring. You could see at the end of that first round, the ghosts were starting to come back. You could see the look on Chris's face. He was hit. It was more of a flash knockdown, and he was fine. but you could see the ghost of not again. This cannot happen again. And this is where I personally think that Gastelum made the biggest mistake of all. It seemed like his main plan was to be patient and buy his time and be consistent throughout the fight. You could tell he put in a game plan for a 5-round battle. Because the biggest mistake, I think the biggest switch in this fight was when Chris had that moment of, oh God, not again, go on. The start of the second round, I think Gastelum should have went for broke. He should have pressed. He should have really put a lot of pressure on him when Wyman was tight and nervous, because this was his home. This was Chris Wyman's hometown, and he really wanted a win. He was on a 3-fight losing streak. He needed that win. He couldn't afford a 4th loss. That was the time to really jump in his head, put a lot of pressure on him, and cause him to make a mistake. But, you know, I admire Fighter for sticking to his game plan. I thought he was a little too patient. He didn't press the issue, and it allowed Chris to get his head together, get those ghosts off his shoulder and out of his mind, clear the cobwebs, and go back to his game plan. In which Chris was, once again, there was just a huge size difference. Chris is a very, very large middleweight. And Gastelum was very small for the middleweight division. He really should be at a welterweight division. But, you know, and that's where I think he's going to end up going back to. But there was, the size was height. He had the height. He had the arm range. And he had the wrestling skill. So it was, I think he had, I don't know how many takedowns total, but it was like 7 to 8 takedowns that Chris had was able to achieve. And Gastelum was able to get up a lot of times and get taken back down. But it allowed Chris Wyman to get back into his comfort zone of what he does best. It allowed him to stick with his game plan and get the boogeyman off his shoulders about being worrying about something crazy, like with, you know, when you're talking about, let's say, Gegard Mousasi and the weird situation where, you know, he put one hand down, he ended up getting kneed and it ended up costing him. The Yoel Romero knee, you know, the spin move with Luke Rockhold. So I thought it was, you know, I thought the key to beating Chris was to make sure those boogeymen came back to cause him problems. And because of the fact that how calm and patient Gastelum was, it allowed Chris to, you know, settle down and get back into the groove. And you know, Chris is a very tough fighter and a very smart fighter. So he used his wrestling game to control the fight, control the tempo. He won round 2 quite easily because of the knockdown. I actually gave round 1 to Gastelum because it was a significant knockdown. Round 3. So like I said, round 2 was Chris Wyman. Round 3. Gastelum came out with a little bit more sense of urgency, and he was touching Chris Wyman. He was landing good shots. Once again, Chris's wrestling skills really came into play. The length, the big issue was the length, where when a fighter's normally the same length, a lot of times you can, you know, if you bend down, you don't have to worry about a guy just reaching over with your leg and starting to take your back or just reaching around. Chris Wyman's arms were so much longer that he could reach in and really get a tight hold or reach his legs over. He could control everything. And once Chris figured out that to get Gastelum off of the fence, because I think Gastelum's game plan was to wrestle Chris Weidman on the fence and make him expel a lot of energy and let him burn out and then take him out late in the fight. I think that was the game plan because that's kind of the way it seemed. In the third, I thought Chris made a really good decision to start pulling him away from the fence and not allowing him to use the fence to kind of wear him down, because I thought Chris was using a lot of energy. And once he started doing that, his wrestling just kind of took control of the fight. Eventually the arm triangle came in. Gastelum tried very hard to, you know, straighten out the arm, because the best thing to do if you're in a head arm triangle, the best thing to do is kind of straighten out that arm so that you can take pressure off of the neck. But with the fact that Chris had such long arms and he's such a big fighter, it was just too much. And Gastelum eventually, he ended up tapping out. And Chris was super happy because, you know, he got the monkey off his back. He ended his 3-fight losing streak. And it really, and in his true hometown of Long Island, New York. In his interview, he talks about how, you know, people are doubting him and talking about how he's back and how he overcame adversity. And so that was a really good thing. And then, you know, when you look at Gastelum, I'm going to tell you this right now, even though he lost, he's 25. He really showed that he has the skills that it will take to be a champion. I think he needs to go down and wait. I think eventually he will become a champion. You know, I think, matter of fact, he proved himself in a loss tonight. And what does this win do for Chris Weidman other than in that 3-fight losing streak? With the way that division has been put on hold, where Michael Bisping hasn't fought in a while as they were trying to figure out if he's going to fight GSP, you know, is he fighting Robert Whittaker? You know, everyone's trying to figure out what's going on. That division has been put on hold for about a year. If that division would have been moving forward, Chris Weidman would be really out of the picture right now with the 3 losses. But because the division has been kind of put on hold, you have a situation here where Chris Weidman is, I say, you know, his next fight, I'm guessing, is going to be like a Yoel Romero, someone like that, a Jacare. He pulls off a win against like a Yoel or a Jacare, and he's right back in the title picture. And he's either two fights from a title shot, or, you know, I could easily see him being 2 fights from a title shot now. This was a really big win for him. And so I think this really sets him up for, you know, it's going to be a situation where Bisping is going to, I'm not sure if he's going to fight GSP or not. If that fight happens, then, you know, then it'll be, or is it going to be the title match where the interim champion and, you know, and Whittaker, it's going to be Bisping and Whittaker. It looks like it's going to be Bisping and Whittaker that's going to fight here. But after that fight, in that same time frame, if Chris Weidman comes off with another big win, he could be right back in this picture for a title shot here. Also, you also have Luke Rockhold, who's coming back. They announced that he was going to be fighting soon as well. Then you also had on this night here, is they had an interview during the fight between John Jones and Daniel Cormier. And I was looking forward to seeing this. That was, you know, because their fight is coming up next week. And with John Jones being out for a while for, you know, reasons, everyone knows the story of John Jones and the trouble that he's gotten into and the big grudge that these two had. The thing that I was normally an interview like that doesn't really tell me much of anything. But one of the things that it did do this time was it made me question things. I'm a big DC fan. I'm also a big John Jones fan. And when I watched this interview, I was surprised at who was getting under whose skin. It is very clear after watching this interview that Daniel Cormier has actually gotten under John Jones' skin. He didn't want to be there. He didn't look like himself. Scoring the fight, the mental battle, I'm surprised to say this, is going to Daniel Cormier. Normally, when I look at the mental battle and I look at these two in previous fights and previous interviews, I've always taken that John Jones knows how to get under Cormier's skin, the crowd. But Cormier seemed way more comfortable, and John Jones wanted to be anywhere but doing that interview. As a matter of fact, I mean, John Jones didn't even really let them wrap up the interview before he started standing up to leave. He seemed angry. He seemed flustered. And I'll tell you this. That's one of the things that's made Conor McGregor such a successful fighter is winning the fight before you ever step in the ring. And before seeing this, I definitely thought that John Jones was going to win this fight. There's cause for pause. I'm really not sure what's going to happen here. But it's going to be interesting. And like I said, round one, before the fight, you know, the pre-round one, it actually has gone to Cormier. And I'm shocked. With that, we're going to go on a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the UFC Fight Night in New York. Stay tuned.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, we're back, and we are doing the UFC Fight Night in Long Island, New York, Wyman versus Gastelum post-fight. And next, we're going to talk about the co-main event. And we're actually going to talk about the co-main event and some other fights that took place on this card and my thoughts on them. In the co-main event, you had Darren Elkin, who won a very close decision against Dennis Bermudez. I scored it for Elkins. I thought his takedowns, he had some huge takedowns that really allowed him to control the fight. I scored it 2-1. The judges kind of scored it kind of the same way. The first judge scored it 29-28, Elkins. The second one was 29-28, Bermudez. And then the third one was 29-28, Elkins. It pretty much just came down to the fact that you had Elkins just applied a lot of pressure and really, you know, really just put Elkins in a very, put Bermudez in a very uncomfortable place where he had to overcome those takedowns. And those takedowns truly was the difference in who won this fight, especially when it was, you know, you came with a split decision. You also had Patrick Cummings, who won a split decision. You also, let's see, other fights that were actually really, really interesting was Jimmy Rivera and Thomas Alameda. That was a fight where, I mean, these guys really took it to each other. In the first round, Rivera dropped Alameda twice. And then the second round, you know, Alameda actually ended up catching Rivera. And so, and then what kind of came down to when you look at this fight, I had a 1-1 going into the third. Jimmy Rivera just applied a lot of pressure to Thomas Alameda, took him down a couple of times, and that was enough for him to pull off an impressive victory. One fight that I do want to talk about that that really caught my eye was Rafael Nadal versus a newcomer making his UFC debut, Eric Anders. Now, I had never even heard of Eric Anders, but I knew he had an 8-0 record, and I heard he was pretty impressive. He was a former linebacker for University of Alabama Crimson Tide, won a national championship in 2009. And when you hit, when you start off with talking about something like, you know, a guy who was a big part of a national championship football team, you know that a guy like that is an athlete. You know that a guy like that is a strong, powerful athlete who can handle himself. Now, the question I had was, does he have the skills to actually compete on the UFC, in the UFC? And when I was watching, the fight, you know, the one thing I noticed was he was very raw. But this guy, you know, this guy has power. He was landing some big shots. He really was taking it to Nadal, and he finished him off. Just impressive. I'm really looking forward to seeing him fight again. I will definitely keep an eye out for him. And speaking of impressive knockouts, Cowboy Oliveira, Alex Oliveira, fought on the card, and he fought LaFleur. I can't pronounce his name. Ryan LaFleur. And Cowboy had a walk-off knockout that you just have to see it. Ryan came in and he was pressing. He kind of telegraphed that he was going to charge in, and Cowboy just timed it perfect. And when he nailed him, it was curtains. It was lights out. Spectacular knockout. That's how, you know, there was, and that's the thing about this card. There wasn't a lot of huge names on this card, but you had a situation where you had a lot of fighters making their debut. You had a couple of spectacular knockouts, and then you had a main event with Chris Weidman that did not disappoint. It was a really great card, and I'm, you know, if you haven't had a chance to see it, you should definitely tune in. But this concludes our post-fight coverage of UFC Fight Night, Wyman versus Gastelum. We'll have more to talk about this in more detail at the beginning of this week, probably Monday or Tuesday. So with that, I'm going to wrap things up, and I am out.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.